Uncle Sam slowly getting out of the insurance business.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. 4 years ago, in the teeth of the U.S. financial crash, the Treasury Department bailed out insurance giant American International Group, AIG, to the tune of $182 billion. It essentially bought the company. Since then, AIG has seen something of a turnaround, and the government is selling off part of its stake in the company. The Treasury plans to sell $18 billion worth of AIG shares. Joining us now with more on this is our own David Gora. He joins us live from Washington, D.C. Good morning, David.
Morning, Stacey.
So, David, why is the federal government doing this now?
Well, the government said from the start that it did not want to be a long-term shareholder of AIG or any of the companies it bailed out for that matter. The government said it wanted to get out as soon as it could and hopefully break even. Now, it looks like in this case, the government will actually make a profit. And as far as the timing goes, the government's been pointing to many of these bailouts, saying they've been big success stories. Just think GM. The narrative is, yes, taxpayers bailed out these companies, but many of them have turned around. And now, of course, here we are in the final stretch of a presidential campaign, Stacey. The timing of the sale could be coincidence, but there are plenty of critics saying the administration is trying to use this sale to its political advantage.
Right. Well, what happens now, David, with the sale?
So the Treasury Department's going to offer $18 billion of AIG common stock. And remember, it's done this four times already. The first time was back in May of 2011. But this is going to be the biggest offering so far. The government stake could go down to as little as 15%. And AIG itself, it says it plans to buy back up to $5 billion worth of stock.
What does this say about the health of AIG?
Well, when the U.S. government took out that big stake 4 years ago, this company was on the brink of collapse. It was in really bad shape. Now AIG is doing a lot better, and it's taking bets that it says aren't as risky as the ones it had been. And it's slimmed down some. It's sold off some of its operations. It's really refocused. It's become a smaller company specializing in property insurance and life insurance. And the big takeaway here is that AIG has been profitable, Stacey, several quarters in a row.
Our own David Gora in Washington. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Stacey.
Overseas markets are on the upswing this morning. London's FTSE is up just a hair. Germany's DAX is up 0.1%. The markets are, however, worried a little bit about China. The world's second largest economy continues to show signs of slowing. Today we got word that China's imports are down and inflation is on the rise for the first time in 5 months. U.S. markets ended last week on an up note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 0.1% to close at 13,306. Congress comes back from its summer vacation today, but don't expect much action on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers will do the bare minimum as they wait for the outcome of the November elections, but they do have a lot on their plates, as Nancy Marshall Genza reports.
A few years back, Congress designated September as National Pain Awareness Month. But it looks like lawmakers will be oblivious to pain this month, dodging agonizing decisions like how to avoid the fiscal cliff of expiring tax breaks and automatic spending cuts. Harry Holzer teaches public policy at Georgetown. He says Congress will dawdle, perhaps even during its lame duck session after the election.
So even once you're in the lame duck, the progress might be slow until they get very close to the cliff, or maybe even after January 1st when they start to drive over it.
But there are a few things Congress needs to get done in the 13 days it'll be in session before the election. The Farm Bill expires September 30th. Norm Ornstein is a policy analyst at the American Enterprise Institute. He says there are some political incentives for House Republicans.
You've got a lot of people in farm areas who have tended in the past to vote Republican.
But Ornstein says Congress will probably just agree to short-term drought relief and drag its heels on a full-blown farm bill. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
America's smallest state capital, as well as one of its coldest, is getting into the utility business. Montpelier, Vermont, plans to sell heat to businesses generated by a wood-fired plant. Vermont Public Radio's Kirk Carapeza reports.
This capital city is small. Just 8,000 people live here. but it has a big plan to address its energy future.
This is not rocket science.
Montpelier Mayor John Holler says the idea is to expand a wood-fired heating plant that's been serving the State House since the 1940s. Pipes will run under these downtown streets to carry heat and hot water to public and private buildings. The fuel will be local Vermont timber. The cost, $20 million.
Our country has been founded on municipal investments, and I don't see this project as markedly different than other municipal investments.
But there are skeptics, including City Councilor Tom Galanka. He supported the plan, but only after it was modified to be phased in, because otherwise, he says,
we will be left holding this huge bill in infrastructure costs and the bond debt that we'd incur, and we wouldn't have the revenue streams to support it.
One building that could benefit is the Union Elementary School. It burns more than 60,000 gallons of heating oil each year. Sitting outside the school on a picnic bench, lobbyist Liz Edsel says if Montpelier wants to reduce its carbon footprint, district heating makes sense.
Both for the environment and the economy. It's something that Vermonters are wanting to see local action on and not just leave it to the state or not just leave it in the hands of the energy companies.
Montpelier city officials expect part of downtown to be served by the new heating system about a year from now. It'll be just the third such district in North America after St. Paul, Minnesota, and Charlottetown on Prince Edward Island. I'm Kirk Carapeza for Marketplace.
And finally, Generation Z may have a rude awakening coming to it in 50 years or so. A study from TD Ameritrade found that nearly 40% of people ages 13 to 22 aren't planning to save for retirement. They think they'll get enough inheritance from their parents to sustain them in their golden years. Their parents seem to have different thoughts on the subject. Only 16% of them said they expect to provide any inheritance at all. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.